This is a recency bias. Welcome to your mid-afternoon, day-after mini-podcast. Yeah, no, didn't get to the morning-after portion. Didn't do the recording after the game on Saturday evening because I missed most of the third period. So I had to catch up on that. And managed to do so. Though most of this game was played in those first two periods. A 5-3, disappointing 5-3 loss for your Habs at the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs, mainly Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He looks like an absolute killer. We talked about him, Sean and I, on our most recent episode of the Big Pod that we did in the Habs week off. I think Ian and I even talked about the next level that Austin Matthews has got to on last Saturday's post-Leafs game podcast. At another level again in this one. He looks ferocious. Canadians put themselves in a bad spot many times on the night, making mistakes. And that was really the story. Again, 5-3 loss in a game that got off to a decent start. Before we get into that, starting thoughts on this one. Well, the question was, which Habs are coming out of the break? Was it the team that started off through the first 12 games or 10 games or so of the season? It looked like one of the elite teams in the NHL. Was it going to be that team that struggled against the Senators, Oilers, and Leafs, respectively, in the middle there? Or that team we saw in the third period, which I guess was maybe the same team as those first 10 games. A solid version of the Habs. You know, a week off, you expect, will they have their legs ready? Is there going to be some rust? What are the mistakes going to be? How do you get ready for this? The first period, I mean, the Leafs, I thought, did their best at pushing the play a little bit, but it was a good, entertaining first period, and I don't think there are really any signs of the Canadiens' rust from a week off showing at that point. So, you know, the loss is not something I'm necessarily going to blame on being away from a week. That wasn't the issue. In the first period, you said, okay, these guys look pretty good. Ready to go here. Other starting thoughts, Tatar and Byron in on this one. Corey Perry, the worm, is extracted for this one. Both those guys showed up in a pretty good way. What you'd like to see after the situation for Tatar, who had been a healthy scratch for the last game against Toronto, and Byron, who had been placed on waivers in the week off, got everybody a little afeared that we might lose Paul Byron. But alas, he hangs on, and he had one in this game, his first of the season. Toffoli once again on the Deneau-Gallagher line, not a surprise there. He played on that line in their last game. And that line was the big one against the Leafs in the previous Saturday's win. And again, we're seeing the retro reverse jerseys for this one, which I think fans are beginning to see as something of a bad luck charm. Three games they've played in these retro reverse jerseys now, and they've been probably three of the more miserable of the season. I wonder if we'll continue to see those retro reverse, considering the fortunes that the Canadiens have seen under them. Weird, a little comment, and yes, Dave, it did make the podcast. A comment from one of the boys back home. Dave, once again, good comment. What if they tried some red helmets to go with the blue? You know, if we're going to keep wearing these blue jerseys, these retro reverse jerseys, I don't want the head-to-toe blue is a bit much. It's a good suggestion. Maybe a red helmet? Just throwing ideas out there if anyone wants them. So the Canadians have a lot of games coming up now after that week off. So it was piquing my interest how they might get off to a start here, and obviously not great. 37 games in the next 70 days. That's a lot of games in 70 days if math's not your strong suit. That's more than a game every 2 days. Half of 70 is 35, so 37 is more than that. That's a lot of hockey the Habs have coming up, which is why you want to listen to this one quickly, because the Canadians are back at it again Sunday, 7 o'clock, against the Ottawa Senators, a thing I had not realized when I started preparing to record this. Maybe would have tried to get it up a little earlier, had I known there was such a tiny window between these two games. Alas, here we are. So those were the things to look at as this thing started, and as I said, the Leafs, they looked good coming out of the gate, but the Canadians did not look like they'd been necessarily made to rust in that week off. And about 8 minutes in, or with about 8 minutes left in that first, I should say, the Habs had actually a flurry of chances. Drouin, Anderson, Tatar specifically, Suzuki had a chance. I mean, there was one point they were three on none, basically, behind the defenseman, and they didn't make it happen. And this was kind of a situation throughout the game. Everyone's going to talk about the mistakes, and rightfully so, a lot of mental mistakes by the Canadians in this game. That was the difference. Taking stupid penalties, you know, normal stalwarts like Jeff Petrie making horrific passes, everybody being just a little off where they should be, and maybe that is the sign of a week off, I don't know. But there was also, for my money, a lot of missed opportunities in this game. This game could have gone both ways several times, I think, and time again, you saw a pretty good scoring chance, I think, for the Canadians that they just failed to take advantage of. We would get out of the first period 0-0, and that's all thanks to Carey Price, who was very good in the first period, in fact, and with a minute 30 left, may have had... No, it was definitely the save of the season for him up to this point. An incredible glove save, just stretching the glove out and being really strong on the arm to stop Mikheyev from scoring for the Leafs there. So it was an even good period. Things I was reading after the game, I guess some people would have given the nod in that one to the Leafs. Probably fair. That's probably fair. I mean, they outshot the Habs 13-10 in that period, but it was 0-0, and you didn't feel like this one was out of the Canadians' reach by any stretch. However, that first period did end with a penalty, and the Canadians know that that's something they can't do against the Leafs. Obviously, it was a killer if you watched on Saturday night. Three of the five goals by the Leafs on the power play, one of them at 5-on-3 with 1 second left in a 5-on-3. It was the murderer in the north right now, Austin Matthews. Kind of a Cammy-esque goal, and Austin Matthews' goal is what it was. All by himself. His sixth goal of the week, his 17th on the season. It was quickly 1-0 Leafs. At that point, they would make that make the Canadians pay on the same power play. Now the 5-on-4, 2-0. Petrie with a long shot right at Matthews. This was like 15 seconds after that first goal, by the way. Petrie had so many different opportunities to clear the puck, not right at Matthews, and instead shoots the puck right at Matthews. Matthews has no trouble getting off to Boyd. Boyd scores his third of the season, and the Canadians were down 2-0, and it felt like, oh no, this is going to fall apart. They looked, after those two goals, they were hemmed in their end a little bit. The Leafs kept coming, but they pushed back. Kotkaniemi had just been embarrassed on a terrible play, just in the defensive zone, made to look like a fool. But on the, gave the Leafs a chance, didn't score, going the other way. Kaka, beautiful feed, he gets a breakaway, and it's 2-1. Okay, 33 seconds later, just as the... Leafs goals had come fast and furious 15 seconds apart. These two Habs goals were 33 seconds apart. Paul Byron unassisted. Old waiver wire Byron. It's how we got him, and we managed to keep him. And it's a 2-2 game. You're feeling pretty good if you're a Habs fan at this point, being down 2-0 like that and coming back, as they said on TVA. Quel revirement de situation. Well, not for long. Drouin would have a golden chance with Suzuki, but as I said earlier, golden chances. Habs didn't do the most of them in this one. That didn't count. However, the Leafs always made the most of their opportunities. It seemed Marner left with all kinds of space. And it's 3-2 for Toronto. And then as that period rolls, Tatar misses a golden opportunity. Tyler Toffoli had a real chance that didn't happen. Anderson absolutely robbed Evans on one. And Mete takes his second penalty of the game. Shaking my damn head. You know who scored. Austin Matthews, his 18th of the season. Another power play goal. Another stupid penalty. Victor Mete, who actually I didn't even think was the worst defenseman in this game for the Canadians. You know who I thought was the worst defenseman. Everybody, let's say it with me. Edmondson was the worst defenseman. Yes, Edmondson was the worst defenseman. But Mete did take two penalties, and I wouldn't be surprised if those two penalties send the kid who was asking for a trade earlier in the season back to watching from the rafters. Because that's pretty much where the game was decided. On those power plays. As Ian Waller points out in his recap on rabbithalves.com, the Leafs thus far this season, a very average to perhaps even below average 5-on-5 team. But you give them these opportunities, and the Canadiens played right into that on Saturday night. Give them the opportunities, found themselves down 4-2. And it looked like, moments later, it looked like, hey, they're going to push back yet again. Armia had a shot, everybody converging on net. It was Kotkaniemi was there, Tuna was there. But it was reviewed, and we got a good goal. All right, 4-3 Canadiens, or not. Because then it was challenged by the Leafs. This is after we've spent about a minute waiting for a review. Then it's challenged by the Leafs. And then, no goal, goalie interference. It looked, I watched it a lot. At first, I thought it definitely was goalie interference, and I think maybe that was the right call in the end. Keep in mind, this show's called the Montreal Bias. Well, this one's called the Recency Bias. We don't need to go in that whole thing. But it was really actually hard to see. I didn't think it was that definitive that Kotkaniemi pushed Anderson's pad past the line and into the net. He may have, but I didn't necessarily see. After watching it a lot of times, when I was watching it, I was really looking for what I assumed would be an easy spot of the stick really pushing the pad. Maybe I wasn't seeing something. Come at me if that's the case, but it was hard to say. And so, since it was hard to say, you would have thought that the call on the ice would have stood. It did not. Then Claude Julien was outraged. I'm outraged. You're outraged. We're especially outraged because what the fuck are they doing with this first replay review? Good goal. Okay, next replay review, not a good goal. Hey, gang, maybe let's speed up this process a little bit. Let's review. Now, I know there's probably, I think that the understanding is it's a technicality of they were reviewing to see if the puck had crossed the line, though that was very obvious. So I don't know what the hell the issue was there. And then, you know, if the Leafs don't challenge, they can't come in and say goalie interference. But can't they? I thought they could. I'm asking you. I don't know. I'm not the one with a podcast here. So it was still 4-2, and everybody was upset. And Edmondson said after the game, he thought that's where the game was decided. I thought the game was decided on a few shitty plays by Edmondson, but that's just me. But it was a tough one. It was a tough one to have called back. I do think it changes the dynamic of the game considerably if that one goes, especially since, you know, it was just moments after the Maple Leafs had made it a 4-2 game. And after the first pushback, you got to think the Canadiens could have been riding that momentum. But they continued to push. Gallagher with a chance before the period was done. Jeff Petrie with a chance before the period was done. And we're all saying that was a wild, wild period of hockey. I'm excited for the third. Well, the third, the Maple Leafs did kind of what Ian and I talked about last week. When I said, you know, despite that loss, I have a feeling if I'm a Leafs fan, I'm kind of okay with that game. Because I want to see the Toronto Maple Leafs be able to play low-event hockey. You know, this is a team that earlier in the week had been up 5-1 on the Ottawa Senators, only to blow that game. So, you know, for them, they were hoping to play very low-event hockey in that third period, and that's exactly what they did. They didn't give the Canadiens many chances to do anything at all. Good on them. Noise the hell out of me, but if I'm an elite team like they are, that's exactly what I want to see from my team. And so the Leafs did what they had to do. Edmondson mistake in the third period would lead to a fifth goal for the Leafs. Yeah, that's right. Another Edmondson. I don't need to say his name right. Getting mad at Edmondson now. Mistake. It was just an ill-advised pinch by him. He shouldn't be pinching very often. Suzuki wasn't able to get back to Kerfoot, and it was 5-2, as I said. That was about 6 minutes, 30 seconds left in that third period. Tyler Toffoli, with his 11th of the season, would make it interesting, slightly interesting, not really anything. He'd get his 11th of the season. That's what would happen. With a minute and a half left, 5-3 is your final. 5-3, a game that, in spirit, felt like a 4-2 game, really. That's a tough one. That's a tough one because it was mental mistakes that cost them. So who's that on after a week off? You got the team prepared physically. They did seem ready to play hockey. But a lot of mental mistakes, and we've seen a lot of mental mistakes from the team all season long. I think I read that the Dallas Stars are the only team that's been more penalized than the Canadiens in the NHL this season. And a lot of dumb ones. puck over glass penalties. Come on, gang. We got to be better than that. And I think the blue line was the particular weakness for the Canadiens on Saturday night. And not just the, yes, I'm ragging on Edmondson like crazy, but it wasn't just, you know, the usual suspects of Kulak, Edmondson, and Sherratt making mistakes. I mean, Shea Weber made some pretty significant mistakes that led directly to Toronto scoring opportunities and Toronto scoring. And Jeff Petrie, as I said, I mean, this is the guy who was in the Norris conversation prior to that week off and probably legitimately still should be. One mistake against Austin Matthews should not take you out of that conversation, but he had a rough night as well. And look, the kids aren't... I thought Kotkaniemi had a pretty solid night. Obviously, he had a goal. Pretty solid night. He had a decent night. But Suzuki isn't quite the same player he was in the first bit of the season. Not quite as magical as he has been. I don't think he was particularly bad, though. You know, he just failed on that final goal to get to Kerfoot. And we've seen time and time again where he pulls that off successfully. Romanov didn't make any significant mistakes. I think he had a point on the night, but again, not the flash that we saw in the early going. This is a very good Leafs team. That's something that needs to be said. So we see what they do against Ottawa. Obviously, you want to bounce back on a back-to-back night, but you gotta get points against the Ottawa Senators. I feel like that's an absolute necessity on Sunday night, considering the loss to the Leafs on Saturday. And it's not a detrimental loss. It's not a loss even that suggests this Canadiens team can't beat these Leafs in the playoffs. I think they can. The playoffs, we know, are called tighter. The Leafs won't have so many power opportunities, one would suspect. You'd like to think the Canadiens wouldn't get themselves in this kind of penalty trouble in a playoff game. You'd like to think that. I don't know. They're going to have to figure that out. They're also going to have to figure out the penalty kill. Captain Kirk Muller, what's going on there? I think you've got the tools for it. Deneau, that's a great penalty killer. Armia, great penalty killer. Suzuki seems solid. You got the guys. I think you got the horses for it. Why is it not working? And it's not just against this highly potent power play of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We've seen the penalty kill be a problem so far this season. Yes, all the goals from the shorthanded unit, was it 6 or 7 in the first stretch of the season? Shorthanded goals. It made it look really effective, but I think that was paper overing some of the real holes in this penalty kill, because Ains discipline has been killing the Canadiens all season long, and yes, they had a week off, and so obviously they didn't add any points in the standings while everybody else was playing, but they find themselves at this moment technically fourth in the Canadian division now. Yes, they've got games in hand on everybody, but still not where they felt like they should be coming out of this break the way the season started. 9-5-2. 9-5-2 on the season now. Your habitants. Say, it's not... Wasn't the worst loss. I people were very upset, it seemed, after the game. Myself, too. I mean, you hate to lose to the Leafs on a Saturday night, especially one in which Austin Matthews gets to shine his stash. But, we've got plenty of games left against the Leafs, and I do think this will be a good playoff series if it is to happen between these two teams. But, huge but, the Leafs are obviously the better team. The Leafs are getting it done, and the Leafs are the ones who are able to stick to their game plan and impose their game plan on the Habs right now. So, parting thoughts, just one. I saw a lot of talk of, oh my God, the goal review. Yeah, let's check with Toronto. Obviously, Toronto is going to be biased for the Maple Leafs. Look, the NHL review office, yes, it's in the city of Toronto. That's not as if everybody working in that damn office is a Leafs fan. That's really stupid. It's just a dumb opinion. And I'm sorry if that's what you think, but it's stupid to think that the NHL replay review is going to be biased towards the Maple Leafs because it's based in Toronto. I've heard that for years, and it's just fucking stupid, and I'm so sick of it. It makes no sense. You think the only people that the NHL, this multi-country league, where franchises are worth billions of dollars, the only people that they can find to work in the review are from Toronto. That's how this works. They just hire locally, like it's Arby's, come in off the street. Oh yeah, you want a review for us? Go ahead, that'll be great. Steve from Etobicoke. Oh, you're a Leafs fan? That's okay. I don't see that factoring in. No, you keep your fandom. No! Come on. It's so dumb. That's not how this works. It's just not how it works. Think about it. This isn't, again, this is, they aren't just hiring any local idiot to do this just because it's based in Toronto. Sick of that argument. I don't even have anything more to say than think about it. That's obviously dumb. Losing the Leafs on Saturday night, obviously dumb too. Didn't like it. All right, left me salty. We'll do it again though. Tomorrow or today, I'm going to do another podcast today. Hours from now, I will be doing this again, hopefully in a different mood. Hopefully not calling somebody stupid. I'm sorry, but I'm not. It's a dumb opinion. Find me if I've offended you. You can yell at me on Twitter at Zach Drops Tweets or at the Montreal Bias. Of course, follow at Rabbit Habs. Hopefully you listen to this before they take on the Sens on Sunday, or, you know, you get a double dose on Monday morning. Get the Leafs game, and then we'll do the Sens game. And then it's like nearly a half an hour of me by myself. Lucky you. All right, take care. Talk to you very soon.